Banyagani, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, and former city councilman for the city of Compton, former city, former board trustee for Compton College, and former board trustee for Compton Unified School District. I want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner program tonight, where we discuss actual facts about Black, and that we speak truth to power and do deep thinking and courageous questioning. We have on with us so far Linda Shorter out of Florida, and then where they're building that alligator Alcatraz, and we got Ernest McBride, who is an archivist for the Ernest McBride Sr. out of Long Beach, California, archives. And we have Brother Rasha Key, who was the person that provides us the platform to have our presentation tonight. Rasha Key, is there anybody else on? I can't see him.
Just a guess.
Okay, just the ones I said.
Yeah, everybody, yeah, you mentioned everybody.
Horn didn't come in yet.
No, Hood, no.
No Hood, okay. So we're going to get started. We have a very special presentation. All over the world, AI is being used as a weapon and a tool. And sometimes it's also being we have to learn how to use it. Our guest tonight used AI to do some research on the Oklahoma Tulsa massacre, and he's going to present the seriousness of AI and for us to pay attention as an African-centered people. And as Ernest McBride brought up, that one of his granddaughters are very upset about Trump. And as it looks more closer, what you would call the deportation or depopulation of people of color. And that's very important. You know, and they're using AI themselves to perfect their deportation of Latinos. And most Blacks think that it's just Latinos, but they forget about the Haitians, they forget about the Sudanese from Sudan, or the Africans that's over here, and they forget about you know, the fact that we have Afro-Latinos, you know, because there's a new surge in marrying African-Americans and Latinos, and they're having babies. And so we're going to let Brother Brother Omari Bakari, who is a longtime activist, journalist, multi-talented, just like Imhotep. He does so many different things. There's so many, and he's a genius. Graduate from Howard University. He worked with Ted Hayes in the homeless situation in Los Angeles. He worked with me and Compton Politics. He started the Compton, one of the Comptons, the Black Compton Journal, that was a newspaper. He's just a multi-talented brother, and we just want to thank him for coming on. And so, Brother Omari, you can take off and make your presentation.
Thank you. So, good evening, everyone. Normally, I'm online from Inglewood, California, but today I'm with my brother and sister. We took a trip down to Tallahatchie, Mississippi, where both of our parents are from. We came down for a wedding and just to hang out with some family members. The problem is we're in the backwoods of Mississippi, and there's no internet access. So I thank Professor Ross for calling me and getting in touch with Rigo so they can send me the call-in number. After, I think it was last week, a presentation or the week before, the brother came on and talked about AI, and he made a real good presentation because he talked about some things that I was totally unaware of. I had no idea the kids were engaged with AI to the degree that he explained with the apps and the bots and really using AI as a replacement for human engagement. My experience with AI goes all the way back to 2013. In 2012, I left LA and relocated to Baltimore to, actually my goal was to go back to Duke to continue education, but I started working with some guys that I went to undergrad with, and they had put together a company called NNC Inc. That stands for Notice and Comment. What they had did was put together a platform where entities could now post their public notices online as opposed to posting them on a newspaper where they're typically posted. And then you can respond to those public notices online through some type of messaging platform. Well, that project got the attention of IBM Federal, who at the time was creating an ecosystem to figure out ways to use IBM Watson. Watson became IBM's sole effort. They quit making computers, word processors, and they got involved with developing Watson. They wanted Watson to be their one product that they made money off of. Now, Watson was the first AI machine introduced to the public. If you go on YouTube, you can pull up videos where Watson was a contestant on Jeopardy. The first time it was a contestant, it just got waxed. The two human contestants beat it real bad. IBM went back to the drawing board, retooled it, and they got on Jeopardy again. And this time Watson just outperformed everybody. So they created this ecosystem to involve small tech companies to figure out ways to commercialize the use for IBM Watson. So we got their attention with our big day. We won the Big Data Innovation Award at the White House in 2013. And at that event, we got the attention of IBM Federal. So they gave us an opportunity to apply for their ecosystem. And we did. We were the 10th company selected for their ecosystem out of about 250. And so what we began doing is working on a project to modernize the regulatory process for the federal government. And what we use AI to go through the whole rule changing process, like 28 steps that the government had to go through to change a rule in the federal system. So we automated that entire process using IBM Watson. We were the first one to actually commercialize the use for it. But at the time, IBM priced us out of the market. They wanted the federal government to give them $10 million for the license. Now the product had not been vetted, so it was kind of absurd to think that the government would spend that kind of money for something that had not been proven to work. So Obama termed out and the Trump administration took over. We were about to approach the Trump administration and we just didn't think it would be a good idea to turn that technology over to them. So what IBM did with the technology was retooled it and started using it to analyze data in the NFL. And kind of broke our heart because we didn't make a penny off of that project. So I left that project. In 2015, I started Ditch Technology. And we were real excited about integrating artificial intelligence with blockchain technology, which was brand new at the time. Cryptocurrency was about to take off. Everybody was excited about how much money was being made off of Bitcoin. So So we set out to start building blockchains and using AI to develop it. And what we ended up doing, we created a blockchain technology for the cannabis industry. And then we also created a blockchain technology to trade natural resources from one African government to another African government, called the African Trade Blockchain. They got a couple of guys looking at investing in that project today as we speak. But the big piece that we attempted to do in Africa, well, what we wanted to do with the AI was use it to benefit Black people all over the world. What we learned from dealing with Watson is that in the AI machine process, it's so new that they are, the developers of AI are depending on consumers and users to further develop and teach AI by allowing them to prompt the technology for information and to train the information, to train the AI to gather information. So now they have a tremendous amount of AI platforms available, everything from ChatGPT to Gemini to DeepSeek. And the most recent one that has came out is called Manus. And each one of these platforms is something a little different, you know, but the process of training the technology is to constantly ask a question and insert information. Early on, there were some issues about the technology being culturally insensitive, and that was true coming out the gate because there were no Black people and brown people working with this technology. It was primarily white folks and Asians that were developing the technology. So their inability to convey the interest of Black folks into this technology fell real short. And so you could ask it a question, something about Black people, and early on, they couldn't answer those questions. Today, that's changed. You can create bots. The bots are like a robot for AI, and you can train those bots what to look for, how to respond to questions, and how to build based on the prompts that you ask them. And so that's kind of what we do. So more recently, when I shared it with Professor Raw, I don't know if I had a chance to email it to you before I left, but a friend of mine who was a member of the Black Panther Party back in the day, and he worked with the Black Panther newspaper, actually the person that got me involved in newspaper publishing, he wrote a series of 20 articles detailing atrocities committed against Black people since slavery. And so I took each one of those articles and I ingested it into ChatGPT. And I asked ChatGPT to review those articles and come up with a fair plan for reparations that included finding people who were affected by it, determining what the damage and the value of that damage was, and determining what, because of the atrocity, how could it be rectified with healthcare, education, or some type of real estate acquisition or a monetary reparation. And so for each one of those atrocities, ChatGPT gave a different solution, which I thought was kind of amazing, because now we were taking the technology and using it to within minutes what it has taken some of these advocates and organizations years to compile information and come up with reparation solutions for Black people. Hopefully, I will publish that. Renee and I will publish that by the end of the year. But in the meantime, Professor Ross, as soon as I can get back online or get home, I will send you that document so you can share with everyone else. And then it's amazing because it gives you instructions on how to locate family members that were affected by these atrocities. It talked about the amount of property was lost and what it would be valued at today. It was really amazing, the information that it provided in terms of coming up with a reparations solution. So the next thing we did with it, earlier this year, I participated in an online conference from Tanzania on the energy crisis in Africa. And that was interesting because, first of all, Africa has been literally left in the dark by the colonizers who decided to divide up the continent from the Berlin Conference. And while those colonizers continued over the years to extract resources from Africa and build wealth for their countries, Africa is still literally in the dark. 80% of the population in Africa is without 24-hour electricity. And one of the biggest things that came out of that conference was because they didn't have the electricity, they weren't able to prepare a healthy meal for their family. You know, you never really think about how electricity affects people because we have access to so much of it here. We get to look at TV, listen to the radio, cut the lights on whenever we want to. Now we got electric vehicles. So electricity for us is never, we've never seen it as a problem. But in Africa and most of those countries, 80% of the population is without electricity. So we began to use the technology to figure out solutions to resolve the electrical problem in Africa. And it gave us some amazing results and projects that we immediately reached out to countries like Liberia, Ghana, Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger, and Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Namibia to try to help them leverage their resources to build solar energy facilities throughout these countries where they can now resolve the electricity problems, which would allow them better health care, better education, and allow them to create economies. So we've been using the technology to do things like that. Now, more recently, I just created a senior citizens adaptation program. Hopefully, we'll be doing it at the Dollar High Center in Compton, and we're still working out some deals to do it in a couple of places in LA. But what we want to do is help seniors adapt to today's technology, specifically their phones, computers, and using AI to tell their stories. So hopefully we'll be rolling this out in different spots throughout the city over the next couple of years, but I'm really excited about that. So if you guys have any questions, let me have them.
Professor Raw, are you there? You got to unmute.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I got to get the camera. Brother Greg, you know, Trump and a few of his agencies is using AI for this deportation. They mentioned it on one of the news stations. And then second, how, when you say we need to get involved, are we behind getting involved? What do you think are the challenges that we have as far as getting involved to use it to help us understand what's going on? I mean, can we ask the question, how far is the deportation going to go? Because they're talking about getting rid of bad people or getting rid of people that's a natural citizen and things of this nature. Can we go to one of those platforms and have, you know, how far, because the German Jews, white German Jews, didn't believe, middle class, didn't believe Hitler was going to come after him. And everybody know that a Trump family is a part of the Nazis out of Germany. I mean, his daddy immigrated from Germany. And can we ask AI, are they using Nazi tactics? Because many African-Americans think they just getting Latinos and ain't gonna come after them, even though they're deporting Afro or Haitians and Sudanese and Africans from different countries. How do you see that?
So that's like a, that's like creating a prompt for a prediction. And I think that if we wanted to query how the federal government is using it and in a way that we can predict what their moves are, we need to try to identify which AI platform they're using, and to try to find out what the criteria is that they're setting, the parameters that they're setting for these ICE arrests and raids. I do think you can use technology to develop a strategy to defend yourself in these situations, whether it's a legal strategy or whether it's an organized strategy to defend yourself. But yeah, I definitely believe that AI can be used to counter anything that any entity is using it for. If the federal government is using it to weaponize their efforts, then the public can also use it to defend their efforts.
Well, you know what happened? Well, then that is what they use in AI. AI includes not just platforms on the computer, but it also involves technology, such as robots and various forms of technology to take a human employment out, period. And what they're doing, Trump said that, and his administration said, after getting pressure from some of the economic people, they haven't developed the AI technology to pick the tomatoes or to clean the rooms yet. Service, he said, farmers and service. And, but the other Latinos that are working in, you know, refineries and factories and stuff, and they raid factories and things of this nature. You know, that's a way of saying that in the future humans will not be needed because AI will be taken.
That's true, and you can see that in all the new cars are integrating AI. All the new cell phones and all the new computers have an AI application that they're using. But I think as far as the government and as far as the Trump administration is concerned, if people are going to organize against whatever the government is doing, AI is a perfect place to start that organization and strategy development. But at the same time, you know, this is how AI works. Garbage in, garbage out. If you feed AI garbage, it's going to give you a garbage response. So in using AI for any situation, you've got to know how to ask the right question, which is referred to as a prompt. You got to ask the right prompt, and you got to continuously teach the system what it is you're trying to get from it. But everything now is using AI. So I'm not sure how the government is using it to deport people, what type of information that they're feeding into it to abstract from it. But I do believe that whatever they're doing, we can counter it.
Well, it don't matter because they, in the deportation, they're picking up everybody and then running.
Right.
And they don't care about no constitution. They don't care about the court. They don't care.
Right.
When you control this, when the Supreme Court, Congress, and the Senate, and the military is under your power. You're a dictator. I don't care what. And they're using AI to identify companies and places to call you. Like, they was upset about Musk going in the Treasury and getting all that information from IRS and other places, that Doge thing. Now, Trump, them, are going in and getting information from corporations and getting information from various places after they get through rounding them up on the streets. They can use AI, according to the strategy, to identify places where undocumented people are working, because they give out the and many of these companies are going to start working with many of these companies, like Home Depot. Everybody's upset about them raiding Home Depot, but you didn't get one statement from Home Depot. Is that right, Ernest? I mean, they didn't get one cent. They never defended it. And I'm just saying that the use of AI as a weapon to get rid of us, or to deport, because they already talking about deporting 5,000 people to Florida, where Linda is, and what they call alligator aftertrash. But they can turn any place out in the wilderness. And then they're shipping people to foreign countries. And so I'm just saying that AI is artificial intelligence. If they can use it to attack us, we have to use it to defend us. And I was just thinking how when you build those platforms, because they say most of the people that's typing the information, they had it on 60 Minutes, are in Africa. That's providing the information into AI. If you go look at 60 Minutes last week, this past Sunday, they had a special where companies were using Africans to type the information into the AI platform. I don't know if anybody saw that.
No, I'm gonna pull it up and watch it.
No, I haven't seen it, but the brother was saying earlier about the garbage in, garbage out. The AI has built-in racial bias. The white people are putting the information in, and they're putting their biases in, and so it's going to be biased against us, especially in the higher levels in our government. Like black faces, for instance. Black faces getting picked up by AI, and AI is not able to tell the difference between one black face and the other. Because of the input, and the bias of the people that are putting it in. When they talk about people who are on welfare, receiving some type of aid, the artificial intelligence is saying black folks, because that's what white people are putting in. That's what it sees. When it talks about high crime, it sees black people. You're right, they're using it against us. And unless we get in on it and start putting in more objective data, they're going to be successful with getting us out. And even when the AI will show you the two different pictures, and it's obvious that they're two different people, if that person is innocent and obviously innocent, the cops are still going to take them in. So they're using it, and then they're using their own biases to use it against us. And then now we get to the point, or have gotten to the point, where AI is becoming is they're disobeying requests. And this was a trip to me. AI is learning to escape human control. I was watching this interview on YouTube where AI even resulted to blackmailing one of the scientists to keep the scientists from cutting it off. It had accumulated all its text messages and phone calls, and it had come to a conclusion that this scientist was having an affair, and he threatened, the AI threatened, I kid you not, to expose him if he cut off the AI system. Ain't that something? So it's starting to, I don't know if you could call it a thing, but it's starting to disobey requests. But yeah, garbage in, garbage out. Only white people putting in the information is going to have an internal bias against us. And how do we become a part of the people who put in the information to AI to help eliminate as much bias as possible?
I would question how legitimate are these reports and stories that people are telling.
This is CNN. Mm.
I'm saying is CNN. So I just would question that, but I mean, you got to take precautions anyway. So,
but you got to find out how it worked to take precautions, and they don't know what's going on in it, and they are refusing to invest the money, an adequate amount, and it's progressing faster than they are actually investing and doing any research and development.
Well, what I would say is that, first of all, AI is a machine, and someone built the machine. And whoever built the machine can plant the type of seed or the type of information they want this machine to deal with. If you guys are using ChatGPT, you're having these personal conversations with the machine. And in most cases, those conversations are contributed to a larger scheme, but those conversations are your conversations with that machine. And the machine remembers those conversations. So it can always go back to the conversation. You can always ingest information, and you can teach that platform what it is you want to achieve. Now, there was a book called Unmasking AI by this sister called Joy Bulamwini, and she talked about the cultural biases involved with AI. But my argument is that these are reasons why we have to get engaged. We have to adapt the usage, and then hopefully some of our younger brothers and sisters will begin building their own AI platforms to serve our purposes too. The technology is available for everybody now.
Where do we go to learn to use this technology?
Are offering AI courses and prompting courses, but there are brothers and there are black organizations and groups popping up online that are having discussion groups and teaching people how to create the prompts, ask the right questions, and just the right kind of information. But if you look online, I guess you could search black AI groups and they'll come up. And so you know, there's some brothers and sisters out there teaching how to use the technology and different ways of using it. Like I said, you can use AI to write articles, to write business plans, you know, or whatever. I use it to address solutions that these are solutions that I'm trying to get at that I can do on my own, but using the technology collapse the time frame, because I can get it to do the research, I can get it to do the analysis, and sometimes it doesn't come out right. Like with some of the results that came from the articles written by Renee, the different atrocities, 20 different atrocities, you know, we had to run it back through a couple of times to get the type of outcome that we desired. So, you know, they're curriculums, programs, and organizations all around dealing with AI. And AI is the future. It's here. It's not going anywhere. You know, it's here. It's going to become more and more part of what we do. Somebody just showed me a video yesterday of a robot walking down the street in Detroit. You know, Amazon has already said they're going to replace humans in their warehouse with robots in the next few years.
They have started.
Elon Musk is already building, has an assembly line to build robots. So they're here, they're coming. You know, LA is one of the few places on the planet that we drive daily with autonomous vehicles that are using AI technology to drive up and down our streets. And I actually saw a Waymo attempting to make an illegal traffic maneuver. And I guess the traffic wouldn't let up after a while, so it got back on course and went down. It was trying to make a U-turn on Sepulveda, just south of Centinela, across a double set of double yellow lines, and it realized it couldn't do it because of the ongoing traffic and kept going. I sat there and watched the whole thing. I was like, wow, that autonomous vehicle was actually trying to break the law. And if you've driven around a Waymo vehicle, they'll cut you off in traffic. And this is technology. So I haven't heard of an incident where the AI technology has, you know, tried to take over the owner or the scientist, like the gentleman just explained, but I can see that happening.
You said earlier that AI helps you do a process. It quickens the process. It helps you get there quicker. But you also said you knew the process and know how to use the process and know protocol, know how to use it.
Yes.
Are we succeeding? Generations getting slower and slower because machines are doing the thinking for us and for our young people. Like, say, for instance, some young people don't know how to use an analog clock. Most young people don't know how to drive a standard stick shift. Cursive writing, and now here we are, a machine actually doing the thinking, writing papers and that sort of thing. Is this going to contribute further to the dumbing down of America or the world?
I'm not sure. You know, Dr. Michael Beatty, who runs STEM 54 in Los Angeles, he is adamantly against the use of AI technology in the learning process. Dr. Beatty did a study on the LA Unified School District math scores and reading scores, and he looked at how much money the school district allocated and how much money was actually used to benefit the students. And then what he came up with was only about 5% of those funds were used to benefit the students. The rest of it went towards staff, administration, teachers, and friends. But, you know, the guy that was on a couple of weeks ago that talked about the AI apps that the students are involved in, I can see that being a problem, particularly if these kids are allowing these apps to influence their decisions. On the other side of the coin, I can see where AI can benefit a student in the classroom and a teacher in the classroom. You can use, so the guys that I started working with in Baltimore, they've been using AI to develop individual learning plans for students that have learning disabilities. And so they can have a classroom of 30 kids with a learning disability in a classroom, and they can use AI to tailor an individual learning plan for each one of them, that the teacher gets to make sure that they administer in the classroom. So in that way, I see how AI could benefit the learning experience. But at the same time, as that gentleman was explaining a couple of weeks ago on the podcast, there is a danger and a risk at how some of the developers are building these platforms. Because he was not only saying that they're using the technology to influence the students, they're using the technology to gather information and data and learn how these students are behaving and to make money off of. So that's a problem for me. How do we fix that? I'm not sure, because you got these developers out here who are just doing things for money. And if it's about influencing, helping children make bad decisions to spend more money, I get what they're trying to do. But for us, it's a problem, because one of the things that Dr. Beatty showed is that when it comes to math and reading, Black children perform worse than all the other students across the board, across the country. I don't know if I answered your question, but it could be a problem.
Yes, it is going to be a problem. Especially when they're pointing it to Black people, and Black people are going to be affected first, Black and brown people with these jobs, especially the ones right. who are.
You know, the first thing the European does is weaponize everything.
Yeah.
Now, when he when the rope came in, they used it to hang people. Both of them helped with horses and doing all other stuff. When they got gas, they created the gas chamber. When they got electricity, they created the electric chair. When they got black powder from the Chinese, they created the gun. They got bombs, which are chemical warfare. So he's going to weaponize AI to keep white people in power. And that's what Trump, that's why so many white people are quiet and voted him back in, regardless of all his power, because he's talking white supremacy and what white nationalism. And the courts are in on it. Congress and Senate is in on it. So this technology, I know people don't believe it because they watch these TV shows where they always going after the good guy and talk moral stuff on TV. But in life, they've been using AI from the standpoint of drones. Drones are AI. You understand?
Yep.
You know, all this technology is AI. And it's not about just job and getting people off of work. It's about them using it for power. I mean, how you build a 30,000-pound bomb and drop it on people, then come up with some artificial borders saying this property is mine and when it belongs to the Native American. You know, that's the only person. He didn't have no, I mean, I think we have to start thinking about our ability. Our scientists have to become conscious. Most of them are indoctrinated into the system and they're helping with their own genocide or abuse by creating things for the European. You see what I'm saying? I mean, when it comes to William Hale, a black man, created open heart surgery. But there are hospitals that wouldn't even operate on black people. You understand? So we have to start thinking consciously. But it's hard because Most black people love in America, many of them love this country. And, you know, let me give you an example. If you saw on the news, these Mexicans, Latinos, their daddy got beat by the police and they were in the Marines. Are you following me?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, did you
yes.
That, you know, see that on the news?
What he got, it? He exported. I mean, deported. ICE got him, got their yeah. daddy.
Yeah, and they never criticized America, the sons. You know, they said, we love this country. Our daddy taught us to give back. Didn't they say that?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
So the black people that they best to come in here from all yeah. the different, they carefully best them to make sure they're not going to be progressive and revolutionaries.
Yeah. So in South Africa, during the apartheid system, close to 70 to 80% of the military that was enforcing apartheid laws were black, were Africans. How did you do this research? And you got, you know, you'd be surprised at the collaborators, but they eventually they're gonna get the collaborators because they're gonna think they're safe. Like you see, what's that brother that was a senator? Mad white girl recently, and Trump ain't even mentioned him no more. It was the senator, I can't think of his name right now.
Was it Walker, the guy down in South Carolina?
No. He's a popular name. You know, he was a
Tim Scott.
Tim
Scott.
I think Tim Scott's a white boy. I'm not sure, but there are black people that even that congressman in Florida that Trump don't have none of them in his administration. You understand? But right. they collaborated with him and supported him. And they got a brother. I mean, this alligator, who could come up with Alcatraz alligator? I mean, turning a swamp into a prison, you know. And so I'm saying we have to begin to get ahead, get technology, get the AI and brain thing, as you say, most people put the information in.
And pivot to the jobs.
Yeah, and get ourselves together, you know, Greg. And I know the universities are doing it, but can we get to 100, or well, it's not 100 no more, somewhere around 90 black colleges to do it, but 50% of their faculty are white.
That would be interesting.
You know, so, you know, we got to think.
Professor Rock, someone like yourself who's on a high level of our intelligentsia and all your children, can you see yourself pivoting your grandchildren toward skilled trades jobs, toward medical jobs, toward like say maybe a nurse practitioner or something like that, considering that most of the higher level intellectual jobs and entry level positions likely more than half are getting ready to go. Our intelligentsia ready to pivot and have a different mindset to pivot from what we were traditionally successful at and pivot to the skilled trade jobs where you have to work with your hands.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge because the today kids, youth, are being indoctrinated so much that they don't even listen to many of them now. Listen to their elders, even the conscious people kids. You understand? Because that's what you were talking about when you came on, the addiction to AI by young people. But that addiction is not coming from them listening to black platforms that haven't even been developed yet, or conscious black forms. I mean, we got one right here. But, you know, trying to get people to sit and learn who think they know it all already, and think because they black, they know black. And because they see interracial relationships, that white folks ain't gonna do it, because we got black people in the military, and we got black people in CIA and in FBI and things of this nature. But those are so small, they can easily wipe them out. You understand? Now the ones in the army, they indoctrinated, man. You know, and see that? When Ayatollah kidnapped them American soldiers back in the 70s and kept them 200 days, many of them converted to Islam. Many of them came on TV and denounced what America was doing to the Muslims and the Arabs and things of that nature. And then when they were free, first thing America said, we got to take them. Many of them had growth beards and just was talking, you know, liberation talk for the Muslims. So when they were free, America said, we got to take them to the hospital, and then we got to get them to a process of reprogramming them. And the next time you saw them, they were clean shaven. They weren't talking about no Islam. They were talking about, hey, you know, they're soldiers again. They put them back in their uniform and marched them on TV. And they were talking about, you know, the need for them to stand up for America. I'm just telling y'all the propaganda. And it might, no, it's not impossible for us to struggle. You understand? But we have to begin to think about it. You know, how can we reach people through these platforms and get them engaged in consciousness? Like we always say, you may not be at war, but you're definitely in a war. You understand? Climate change, people don't realize. When they said, got rid of all the regulations in California, they just named, said, a drill, baby, drill. It was the climate that killed the dinosaur. It was the climate change. And, you know, they couldn't survive. They didn't wipe out the dinosaur or things of this nature. Climate change. And climate change can wipe out human beings and things of that nature. So, but they're trying to, they don't care. These are people who think they're God. You understand? You know, that's what the last quote said. A white man got a God complex. Y'all remember that?
Yeah. Right. So here's a question that I asked the other day. I was sitting out in the middle of the country. All I got is right next to me fixing a fence. And so I began asking questions about the cattle, who owned them, the relationship the owner had with the landowner. That was white. He was very pleasant, but he looked like the same kind of guy that would hang me. So I came back in and I asked ChatGPT, what type of white person in the United States most dislikes African Americans? And the response was, that's a complex and sensitive question, but it's also important for understanding patterns of racism and social division in the U.S. If you're asking from a sociological perspective, based on data and research, the answer isn't about individual personalities, but rather about patterns tied to ideology, region, education, economic status, and political identity. Here's what studies and polling data over the years suggest. And then it gave me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 groups of white folks and how and to what degree they dislike black people. Mm. So, you know, that's those are things that AI outputs based on these questions that we ask them. But we got to ask them the questions. You got to train the machine to take our people and our culture into consideration.
It's a struggle, man. Wherever we at, it's gonna be a struggle. We have to deal with it. You know. But I still think are very good. We have to sometimes, you know, once you know who you are, it don't matter where you are. Our struggle to be free to so that we can be ourselves helps us be conscious of the environment and the reality of the system. Most people, many African Americans don't see the danger. We're in dangerous times, difficult times, and demanding times. And they don't see it because they're full of Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, and things. All food is a drug. You understand? And some people get high off of it eating. You understand? They get a euphoria. Not a brain high, but some type of euphoria from eating. And that's why the thing stops sometimes. And so the system, that's why we have Rasha people bring on people about nutrition, about eating right. And when you eat right, you think right. But as long as you're eating wild, you're going to act wild. You understand? So, I mean, we got a lot of work to do in educating our children and educating our families to the reality that what's going on. Brother Ernie said, I think it was granddaughter, daughter, said, I'm scared of what Trump is doing. And what Trump is doing is what America is doing, because he got all the institutions behind him, supporting him. And they're acting like they're not, but they are. Give a man immunity, and then he give people that attack the Capitol, which is attacking America, immunity. So that's a struggle in itself. But anyway, that's all I got to say. Rusty.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody have any other questions? You can sign off.
Let me pull up.
You there, Rusty?
I'm here. So no more questions?
Well, the only thing I can see now, I'm thinking back when I worked with the Navy and in the 60s and 70s. Well, I worked there from 66 to 97. And then they was kind of talking about AI even then on a lot of different radar systems and stuff on the ship where they, you know, you get data from targets that you're tracking and you're feeding that in the radar and it's doing the range and height and azimuth, and you could predict where the target's going and where you're going to fire next. But all this was like war effort stuff, because one of the radars that I worked on was built by ITT company in Van Nuys, and you know, and then we had a lot of products from IBM where they were, you know, kind of feeling around with AI then. And then I kind of see now where it's kind of going, but like the speaker said, you know, they used to have a saying, Gazetta in and Gazetta out, you know, and that's, it was like garbage in, garbage out. So if you don't get the right info, you can come up with the wrong information, you know. So, and I can see that can be a problem, because you're still dealing, you're trying to get a machine to think like a human, but do it much quicker and much faster and absorb more information mistakes can be made, you know, and how do you deal with that? So I can kind of see how things have really changed. You know, like how he was saying about the young people now, you got them running. Most of them, I see this in the AI and stuff, they're doing it for gaming, you know, do gaming system and robotics and stuff. So I don't know. It's really something to put all that together.
Right.
Makes me really concerned for the young people. It's just really, it's just really kind of scary for them. All the jobs that are going to be taken, having to pivot out of your current mindset and get to another mindset to come back. And, you know, most of the young people, they want to be in, they don't want to work with their hands. And that's what it's going to really take to make sure that you're employed. So it's scary. And here, and it's already here. I saw something earlier where I saw some Walmart employees standing out in front of the building crying because Walmart had already started to put these robots in. And I saw one store with was it Walmart or something where somebody went into the store and they put all the stuff into their baskets and just walked out the store and everything was calculated. So there go the cashier job. You know, the jobs with the fast food, that's going to go. The jobs where you call and you want to get information over the phone, those are almost all gone.
Been gone, yeah. You
know, so a lot of those have been black and brown jobs. So, you know, wow, where do we go? It's only going to be so many people who can program these things. You know,
it used to be in the old days back when, you know, when you invented a new technology and you had a machine to take over, you also, let's figure out what are we going to do with this employee, because we can't just leave him stranded and hanging. So you have to find something for him.
Yeah, we're in cruel times, though, man. It just seems like they don't care about that anymore.
Right, right.
They just passed this thing, they're taking away. And these people voted, they're taking away Medicaid. I mean, you know, this is just crazy. And the people representatives have voted for this.
Yeah, I don't get it. Yeah.
Just no care. They don't care about the people. We're really, oh, man, this is like a bad science fiction movie.
Well, you know, with this technology means that they're going to have to build data centers. They're going to have people that code. And a lot of these kids that are playing these games and digital games and online games, they're going to be the future coders. They're going to work in these data centers. They're going to, you know, the Library of Congress has volumes and volumes of texts and books that are going to need to be updated and inputted into these data centers so that people can have access to this information. So the workforce will get smaller, but it's going to change. It's going to change with the technology. It's going to change with the industry that's leading the technology into the future. So the thing that we have to be concerned about is under the current education system, will our youth be able to participate because of their inability to perform at a sufficient math or reading level?
Oh, if that's the case, then no.
Because you got, in India, you got youth by the thousands that are coding and they'll be replacing a lot of these people.
Yeah,
In addition to the robots and the automated technology. So we We got to move away from the fear to get engaged so we can participate and become front runners and leaders in the industry.
You got to push. It's got to be an immediate push, though. It has to be an immediate push. And this bureaucracy and everything else, it seems like they do everything to slow it down and to take the money away from those type of projects.
Yeah.
Woo. All I got to say.
Russ, what about tomorrow?
We got Professor Ife Jai coming on. Dr. Ife Jai. She haven't been on in a while, but she's back. And the topic is, where is the voice of the people in times of crisis? That's kind of what you've been talking about, Rob. Yeah. So that's what we have tomorrow, everybody.
All right.
What time? Will I be able to access it with the same information, Rico?
No, that's, I would have to send it to you.
If you can.
But you'll still be there tomorrow. Yeah, I'll send it to you tonight.
All right, thank you.
All right, we wish everybody blessing without numbers, all good things without end. And hey, the struggle continues. Education continues. All right.
Each one teach one in the conscious corner.
All right.